Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Everyone, as always, let's give people one more minute to join the call. Okay, welcome to today's Agreements Local KB subgroup meeting. And I did not check in advance, sorry for that. Karina, is it possible that you take notes today? If not, I can do it too.
No problem.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. We had no homework for today, but we have three discussion topics. Our usual development update by Owen. Then we want to talk about an implementers topic that has been raised by Sabrina, and that's about customized URLs should be shown in the UI. And we have a third topic, a question by Owen about package deletion. What information should be included in the package deletion log? Anything else, anything you want to mention, any question, anything that we should spontaneously add to the agenda before we start? Hearing nothing, I would stop sharing, Owen, and I would ask you to give the update on the development.
Okay. So, yeah, we are in sprint 221, which started on Monday. We're continuing work on the GoKB search integration this sprint and the package deletion work, which, as Martina mentioned, I've got a question about. And also, we have started some kind of planning work for implementing resource-based access control, which is essentially bringing the acquisition unit's functionality into agreements. agreements in the first case, eventually agreements and licenses and potentially other modules, but we're starting with agreements. So don't have a lot of detail to give you. You will see now actually in Folio snapshot that there's a new tab, which is the GoKB search. At the moment, that just does a fetch for all titles from GoKB. So if I do a, doesn't really matter what I do here. So you can see we're getting, and it doesn't do anything else, but that this is data coming directly from GoKB. We're working on at the moment making sure that when you send a query, it sends the right query and gets the right results. That at the moment it's obviously only displaying the name in this list, but it will display different columns of data here, and we'll be adding at least one filter here, so you can filter on monographs versus serials. And will be obviously eventually when you click one of these, you'll get the view pane to display it. So all of that work is under active development right now. And so as that makes progress, you'll see things appearing in this UI.
Thanks, Owen. And there is a comment by Felix in chat. The GoKB has now is only capital letters, so the
Okay.
B needs to be uppercase.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, I think that's all I've got to report in terms of development progress. So,
Questions
I
for
guess,
Owen? Sorry.
yeah. Yeah, no, go ahead.
Any questions? I just wanted to check again. Any comments or questions for Owen? Okay. Do we then want to continue with Sabrina, your implementers topic? Do you briefly want to like describe what your requirement is or show if you want to show something?
Yes, I will share my screen. Okay, so sorry, it's a German version of our test, one of our old test systems. So in the e-management app, there is the local KB search and there is the tab platforms. If you change the platform URLs here, the changes are only seen or shown in the export file and not in the user interface. So if we put here an URL change, you can see it in the user interface. And one of our colleagues said it would be very helpful to see it there so that you can click on it and go to the right site. Because some platforms or publishers, for example, eBook Central, have library codes in their URLs. And it would be ha very helpful if we can put our lib library code instead of the library code of the other library in the URL. Yeah, eBook Central was our use case for this, but since there are changes to eBook Central, we do not know how we will proceed with eBook there. Yeah, and but I talked to one of my eBook colleagues, and he says it would be very helpful and useful if the changed URL could be shown in the user interface and not only in the export file. I don't know, does anyone in this group use this URL feature, or I don't know, have other or do other have this implemented topic as well? Ah, yeah, agreements is the e-management is the German name for the agreements app, you know. And this is a very good also here it's very good explained how you can change the URLs in the background. I don't know if you noticed that. Yeah. And this was an implemented topic from our Bavarian ERM subgroup from beginning of this year. And at the moment, our ERM libraries in Bavaria create local packages for these platforms. Yeah. So this was.
Thank you, Sabrina. I see Felix comment that they don't use it at the moment. But I know that in our network it's definitely planned to be used. So I can definitely see that use case that it would be helpful to see the customized URL in the UI as well. But I see Owen has unmuted himself.
So yeah, I think I mean this makes absolute sense, Sabrina. I think it's clear that not having these URLs in the UI is means that you're missing you can't actually use those URLs as you say, and it would clearly be useful to be able to. My only question I think is about displaying them. So the and part of the challenge here is that the there are two you mentioned the platform modification. So and that for eBook Central, you are th that is the right way that you would use this. So if we have something like this, then we can add a custom customization, and by using the platform local code, that can insert a special code for the platform into the URL, and you can therefore. So I think with eBook Central, it certainly used to be the case that it had some institutional code that you had to use. So you can add that here. So so let's say it's GBV is the code, and then you can add that. Like it onto the end of the URL. I can't remember the syntax now. But as Sabrina says, there's an explanation here. So yeah, yeah, so this kind of thing. The other thing you can do using a similar idea is yeah, is you can also add a configuration at the Wrong one. In settings, you can add a proxy server setting, which is similar, but instead of modifying, so the doing it for the platform only changes that URL for the platform. And this is designed if you have a proxy server like EasyProxy or some reverse proxy set up where you add a proxy, some proxy information to the URL before clicking it. So this would usually apply to all URLs in the system or many URLs. You can exclude certain platforms from, if certain platforms don't allow proxying or whatever, you can exclude those. But and the result of this is you can have, for a single, so what we store in the database as a result is for each URL, we have the original URL, whatever was imported to the local knowledge base. We have any URLs that have been changed because of the platform modification, and we have any URLs that have been created through the proxy configuration, and then a combination of those. So there's kind of the original URL that's been proxied, there's the original URL with the platform change, and then there's the original URL with the platform change with the proxy. So it's kind of, you can end up with multiple URLs for the same resource. So the question I have is that where we have these modifications, like what we would have a, so see if we have the package, we have a few places where we display the URL. So here we have the link here. Where we have the platform and where we have the proxy, do we just add them all one by one as a list underneath, like so that each row would have the, only where they exist, obviously, would have the title on platform, the title with the platform modification, the title with the proxy? Or do you only want to, like, is there a rule we can say just display the ones with, if the platform one, if there's a platform one, display the platform one, and don't worry about the original? I guess, where is it useful to have the original as well as, is it always useful to have the original as well as the modified one? I could certainly see for the proxy, it's useful to have both because you can compare them and make sure that they're as you expect, especially if you're looking for errors. With the platform one, I wondered whether maybe, like, I think with eBook Central, unless you have the code, it can't really work. So I don't know with, so I guess that again, like, should we include them all, or should we, are there, like, is it better to try and work out the rules which we display? So that's my only question. Like, it makes sense. I think we should do it. It's just, do we display them all, or do we display some of them, or do we have an option to display them? Like, should it be a configuration, whether you display it or not? What's the preference?
Sabrina, write something in chat. It would be useful to have all URLs, original and modified, to see the modification if there are problems with the modified URL. So that's a vote for having both.
Okay.
Any other opinions, Karina?
In that case, would it be possible to also put in an indicator like whether it's the proxy modified or the otherwise customized URL. But because if we just have three underneath it, I mean, it's not my focus topic, but I was just thinking about, okay, where can I see what changes were made and why to the URL if I'm not very deep into this topic?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Any more thoughts? Sounds like we're all happy with having both displayed with some information on which kind it is.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So I can write up a feature and story for that to be done.
Thank you. And thanks, Sabrina, for raising this. Then we will look at our third topic about package deletion and the information that's needed in the package deletion log.
Yeah. So we're just in the process of working on this. Don't think th this is you don't need to look at the presentation online, but just in case anybody wants it, that's the URL of these slides. So just to explain a little bit about how this works, when you delete things from the knowledge base, then exactly what gets deleted depends on the structure of the knowledge base. And there are different scenarios. Now, what we're talking about in the first case is deleting the content of a package. So what you'll be able to do in the UI is to find a package and select to delete the content of that package, and potentially multiple packages. I think it seems likely now that we'll be able to support doing that for multiple packages at one time. So the structure in the local knowledge base is kind of hierarchical, and we have the PCI, which is what GoKB calls a package title. So that's the package, that's the sorry, the title within the package. So when you delete the contents of a package, the primary thing you're deleting is the package content item. But the package content item is linked to a platform title instance. So that's a representation of the title in a particular location online. So for instance, and that's, we've just been looking at, that's where the URL, for instance, is stored. So if you have, for instance, a journal in JSTOR, that might appear in multiple JSTOR packages. So you'd have one package per JSTOR package, and that would be a separate PCI for that title in each one. But they're all in the same location, so they all have the same URL. So the platform title instance, you only need one of those, even if they're multiple occurrences. So, and then above that, you have the title instance, which is kind of a description of the title, the resource itself, and that actually also has a work associated with it, which brings together titles which are for the same thing. And one of the reasons we need that in particular in GoK in Folio, sorry, in the local KB, is because we differentiate title by media. So print versus electronic are separate title instances. And this structure you're seeing in front of you is a typical structure for, in this case, a title that appears in one package. So let's say there's a specific title only available from the publisher, direct by the package. It has print and electronic versions. And so you end up with a structure like this. There's a work which points to both the print, which is TI2 here, and the electronic, which is TI1. The electronic is always the one associated with the PTI because it's only available, like only the electronic is available online, and the PTI is to the PCI. And that's in that this diagram suggests this title is available in one package. So if we delete this PCI, so if we delete the package contents, then we don't have any use for this PTI. And if we delete the PTI, we don't have any use for this TI. And if we don't have any use for this TI, we don't have any use for the other TI. And if we don't have use for either TI, we also don't have a use for the work. So the result of deleting the PCI here is that you delete that we actually not only delete the PCI, we also delete the PTI, we delete the TI and the other TI and the work. So you can see that when we are deleting the content of a package, for each PCI we delete, we could potentially be deleting several other objects in the database as well. Now, this is a very simple example because it's kind of the title appearing in one package. If we look at a slightly more complicated one, so the same title that on the same platform in multiple packages. So here we have a title that's available through at least two packages. We're showing two packages here. So there are two PCIs, one in package one, one in package two. If we delete the content of package one, we can delete this PCI, but when we come to delete the PTI, we can't because it's all still being used by the second package. So actually, in this case, we'd only delete the PCI. We wouldn't delete the PTI. We wouldn't delete the title. We wouldn't delete the work because that needs to be used by the other PCI. If, on the other hand, you deleted both packages at once, then once you've got rid of the final PCI that's using the PTI, then you can delete the rest of it as well. So there are different scenarios here depending on if you're just deleting one package or if you're deleting multiple packages at the same time. But if we stick to the example, just for simplicity, of deleting one package, if we delete one package, one PCI, we can't delete the rest of it. That's going to stay. So when you delete a package, you could have a situation for some PCIs, you could have a situation like this. It deletes not only the PCI, but also the PTI, the TI, and the work. And that could be multiple TIs. So you're likely, you could be deleting two TIs for every one PCI that you have. Or if you have this situation, you delete the PCI and you don't delete everything else. So everything else remains. And I've got a final example here, which is slightly more complicated. This is the same title, but available through two different locations online. So that means two different URLs, two different PTIs. And so if you delete PCI one, you can delete PTI one now because it's not used by anything else, but you can't delete the titles and you can't delete the works. So in this case, you delete one PCI and one PTI, and then you wouldn't delete anything else. So you don't really need to worry about, well, I guess the question in this in for this that I have is almost how much do you want to worry about these things? You don't need to worry about the detail of all the different scenarios I'm describing, but you get the idea that when you delete the contents of a package, it is not straightforward to know what the result of that will be in terms of, for example, will I still find this title if I search for it after I've deleted this PCI? like, will the title remain in the system or not? And so if it doesn't need to, we'd remove it, but if it needs to remain, we'd keep it. So these are the rules that we follow, I think, essentially. When you delete the package contents, when you choose to delete the contents of a package, we attempt to delete all the PCIs, all the PTIs to link to those, all the TIs linked to those and related TIs, and all the works. But we don't delete PCIs that are used directly in agreement lines. So if you've attached an agreement line directly to a PCI, if you say delete the contents of this package, it will skip over PCIs that are being used directly to avoid you accidentally removing a PCI that is actually actively part of an agreement. It won't remove PTIs that are used by other PCIs aside for the ones we're attempting to delete. It won't delete TIs, title instances that are aside that are used by other PTIs unless we're also deleting those PTIs. And there is also a kind of there's a slightly more complicated situation at the title instance level, because if any of the title instances grouped by the same work are deleted, are being used, then we wouldn't want to delete any of those, because they can represent different identifiers. So for discovery purposes, we might keep TIs even if they don't have PTIs or PCIs attached. Anyway, my question is, when we run a package de content delete, what we're currently planning in the first iteration, what we're planning to do is we'll you'll be when you say you want to delete the package content, it will tell you how many PCIs it expects to delete. And that's because that number is like, when you look at a package and it tells you how many resources are in that package, that's essentially the number you're looking at, how many PCIs are in that package. So it will tell you how many PCIs it calls them resources, but how many PCIs it will attempt to delete. It expects to delete as when you run the deletion. And that will be based on essentially the rule that says we'll delete all the PCIs in the package except those used directly in an agreement line. So when you say, I want to delete the contents of this package, it will tell you the number of PCIs it expects to delete based on the number that are used directly in agreement lines. So if the package isn't being used at all, none of the PCIs are being used at all, you'd expect that to be the same number as the total resources in that package. When you actually run the delete at the moment, and maybe I can show, might be able to show you this. Let's see. Do this on snapshot or if I've already got any. Okay, so I have this. So eventually there'll be a delete option here, but at the moment we don't have that. So I'm gonna just gonna try and do this from behind the scenes. If I can. Okay. So that creates a package deletion job. And that's this running here. And when that runs, okay. So what this is telling me is that it's marking things up for deletion. That this tells me that it's being given one PCI ID, and the reason why that's happening is because there's one PCI in this package. It then starts that process, and the outcome is that it's deleted one PCI, one PTI, two TIs and one work, which, if you remember, is this first scenario here. So because I created this package kind of for testing, and then it's deleted all of this stuff. So what it's reporting to me here is that. Now, I don't think this is definitely not how I want it to be in the end, because it's also a bit, it says mark for delete, and that's misleading. But what I'm interested in is not the detail of the language here, but exactly what's useful for you to know. Like, this tells you the numbers. I don't know how useful that is. But like, probably knowing the number of PCIs that were deleted is useful, because that tells you whether the full package content was deleted or not. But like, where stuff isn't deleted, what do you want to know? Do you want a list of the titles that have been deleted, or the titles that are affected? Do you want, like, is it useful to have the list, a full list, versus just the count? And just to remember that obviously in this case, if we listed the title, that would be fine because it's one title and it wouldn't take long. If you were to delete, say, an eBook Central package with tens of thousands of resources in, that would be an extremely long list. So I guess my question is, like, what information would you ideally have access to when you run the package content deletion? What are the most important pieces of information for you? Is what I want to know. Where, like, obviously, once you tell me that, I'll have to work out whether that's possible. But for now, I'm interested in, what do you think are the, like, if it's just a count, that's great. If it's, you want more than that, then let me know.
And maybe where people think there is a question by Philip in chat. When would I want to delete PCIs and not just set as inactive?
So, you don't have to delete PCIs. But the model that we're moving to in with GoKB, so what we're encountering is that GoKB now contains enough data that copying the full set of data into Folio is becoming, well, it's already, I think, more and more difficult. And And it takes up a lot of space and it brings down the performance. And for titles and packages you're not actually using, there's like you're not getting any benefit from that. So what we're moving to is a situation where we don't by default fully synchronize all title information from GoKB. And that's why we're also doing the GoKB search integration, which I mentioned earlier. So you can still search all titles in GoKB without having to import them locally. Now that's fine for like if you were to go live with Sunflower, that approach would be in the built in. But for those already using GoKB, you've already synchronized the whole data set. And of course, it's possible that you could have a package which you subscribe to and then decide and then drop it. And again, you could make a decision at that point. Like if it's the whole package, then you might want to preserve the fact you subscribe to that package, but not necessarily preserve the whole title list. I mean, that I think that's a more questionable situation. But certainly, if something's synchronized and then you realize I don't actually need to use this, then at the moment there's no way of clearing out that data from the database. So you've got this storage of data you're not using and have never used actively. And so that's why you might want to delete PCIs and the rest of it is in the case that and that's why we do the whole set of deletion, because if we only deleted the PCIs, you wouldn't necessarily see as much performance improvement. If you kept the title data, for instance, you'd end up with titles in the system that were just clogging up queries and giving you'd find the title when you searched, but it would have no useful information attached to it. So it's basically it's an efficiency that if you don't need the data, don't store the data. That's basically it.
Thanks,
I think that
Owen.
is a sorry, I think that Philip, like that is a different scenario to a situation where you, for instance, want to keep the data from the package as to show historically what you subscribe to, but not update it anymore. And set it as you say, inactive or as expired. And you can do that as well. That's also supported. But so you can stop updates for a package and say, I don't want the updates anymore. I'll take this frozen in time. And then but you might not want to delete the content in that case because you might want to preserve what that package looked like at that point in time when you were doing subscribing, in case you later have to go back and say, oh, but we should get like access to this because we paid from, 2020 to 2025 for this subscription and that came with post cancellation access or whatever it is.
Thank you. That's good to have that explained. We have a comment, a very thoughtful answer by Felix in chat on what he would like to see as part of the de package deletion log, and there are already two plus ones to that.
Okay,
I would,
so
yeah.
sorry, go ahead, Martina.
All good. Please go ahead.
So there should be a clear indication if something went wrong with the way to retrieve such logs that a user has to pay attention to. If all went okay, the log is just something a user would rarely look at in detail, I assume. So I guess the question there, Felix, is if you delete the content of a package, and then when you go back to look at the package, there are three titles left in it, let's say. Then, in terms of something going wrong, that could be correct behavior or incorrect behavior. So it could be that we deliberately didn't delete those titles because they were directly attached to an agreement. Those PCIs, sorry, because they were directly attached to an agreement. Or it could be that something went wrong and they didn't get deleted for some reason. I guess that When you say something went like something to pay attention to or go wrong, if the process is behave done as exactly as the system expected it to, are you saying that in that case you don't really need to worry about it?
Right. So can you go to slide number four, in your
Sure.
deck? So I think that would be like the happy path, right? So
Yeah.
you want to delete something, and that is the way it should work. And even if something is pretended from being deleted, like because PCI is linked directly as agreement line, I think that is not an error. That is expected behavior, so I would not assume that as wrong. But wrong is like something should be deleted, but the API gave a timeout after, I
Yeah,
don't know,
okay.
30 seconds, and then I have to
Yeah.
revisit it because there is something in the system that shouldn't be there after I
Yeah.
started deletion.
Okay. And so we have the name of the package, the ID of the package, the GoCo BID or external identifier, the URL. Okay. The num so that all makes sense. So the basic package information. The number of and potentially a folio internal link to resources that have been deleted from the local KB divided by their entity work title instances PTI or PCO. So obviously we already have the number. The link, we can't link to something that's been deleted. So essentially we could capture at the, well, I say we could. I think if we wanted to preserve information about what had been deleted, that would have to be captured in, say, the log file or somewhere at the point the deletion happened. But once it's been deleted, we obviously don't know what it was. So, yeah, I think if we were going to include anything there, we have to make the decision about whether you want to be able to see the list of resources or their GoCo BIDs or something versus just the number. Link to resources that could not be deleted, that is definitely possible.
So when we speak about push KB, is there like an interface where you could link to, or is it just a database without a UI?
PushKB is a database without a UI.
Okay, then forget about the URL for successful things.
For successful things. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then the metadata, date of deletion, duration of job run. Okay, see that is that's included in the job already. So yeah, you definitely have that. Yeah. Okay, that seems clear. I think I need to talk to the developer about the link to things that have not been deleted, but I'm pretty sure that's possible because we have the we can actually include the identifiers in the we already have the ability to include the identifiers in the response, so we know which ones that. Oh, that's actually that's a good question. That might need some thought, but I can talk to, I'm pretty sure we can manage that. I'll talk to the developers. Go ahead, Felix.
Would you also want to have feedback on the representation of the logs? So you showed the table that we already know from local KB, the package import jobs, or would that
Yeah.
be a separate topic?
I'm definitely happy to hear it. Yeah, no reason why not. I just want to.
Yeah, give other people time to chime in.
I just want to ask you a question or everyone a question about the link, the things that were not able to be deleted. So when you say things that are not able to be deleted, should we just be worrying about the PCIs we couldn't delete? Or everything that we didn't delete that might have potentially been deleted if so? Going back to this slide, like there will be almost certainly there will be PTIs we don't delete because they're used by another package. Like it's very common for a provider to provide multiple packages for the same content that overlap. So in general, I would be expecting that when you delete the PCIs in a package, sometimes you'll also delete the PTI and sometimes you won't. In terms of saying resources that could not be deleted, would you want to include, like, so obviously for the PCIs, this is kind of a straightforward question. Like, either we deleted the PCI or we didn't delete the PCI because it's part of an agreement, or we didn't delete the PCI for some error. And I think those are the only three options there. Like, if you say delete the contents of this package, the expectation is that all PCIs would be deleted unless they're directly used by an agreement. Anything else is an error. So it would be like, it makes sense to me to report back to you, here's a list of the PCIs we didn't delete because they were part of an agreement. Here's a list of the PCIs we didn't delete because of an error, some other error, or whatever information we have. But once you go up to the PC, to the PTIs, the TIs, to the works, that definitely gets like explaining that. Well, not explaining it, but it just gets more complicated. You have PTIs that were not deleted because we couldn't delete the PCI because it was part directly of an agreement, or PTIs we didn't delete because it was used by another PCI somewhere else in the database, or PTIs we didn't delete because of an error, and so on. And I'm just wondering, like, how much detail is useful there? Like, I definitely could see, like, knowing certain PCIs weren't deleted is important because if you go look back and look at the package and see, oh, there are still three things in this package. I thought I'd deleted it. Like that's very useful feedback. These were errors or these were part of an existing agreement. I think the other stuff, I guess I'm a bit less sure about, not because, I mean, I can see that sometimes, like if we were doing extreme diagnosis on some failure to delete something, then we'd want to be able to see that in the log. But I'm less sure that it's a useful thing to be kind of as standard in the user-facing display. But I'm happy if you tell me it is. I'm just, yeah, unsure.
I agree that would clutter the log content. It would be sufficient, I think, if it would be links to resources that should have been deleted but would not be could not be deleted, so that I can go and debug. So, for instance, if it's a title instance, then I can go in and see, oh, this title is available through other packages as well, and then I could take a look at that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, are there any I want to come back to Felix, your question about the layout of the log. But before we do that, are there any other comments from anyone on the on this kind of question about what information? Does anybody disagree with that conversation that Felix and I have just had? Anybody think there's something missing?
And if something comes up after this call, please feel free to send us a message.
Yeah.
You need to think about it.
Okay, Felix, feel free to comment on the layout. What were you going to say about that?
So I've seen this layout the first time now for the resource deletion job, but I know the package import log. And I think it's kind of hard to parse for the eye and also to process with, I don't know, a tool like Excel or OpenRefine, because you sometimes have more than one row per record. So per, yeah. The context is not really clear here because you've decided to use this multi-column list, but in some cases there are two rows for one title. So, for instance, sometimes we have or we had in the past of at least something like I'm skipping this record, and then the second row is error resolving title, but that yeah is related to the entry above. So I just would like to make sure that, yeah, we don't run into this issue with the resource deletion job again.
Yeah, and in fact that is immediately an issue here, right? So the like if you were doing this, if I'd done multiple package deletes here, like this is other if we only support this for a single package, then all the lines will always refer to the same package. But if we have multiple packages in the same job, then we could easily start to have situations where this was unclear which line here referred to which package. And yeah. And I think that it's not only in the because of the tabular layout that we support here, but it also you also see that in the JSON if you export it. So there are ways around it in tools, certainly like I use OpenRefine often to look at the logs, and there are some ways around it, but it's not straightforward. I agree. I think that we could do a better job there. I'll have a look at that. I mean, we are slightly limited. The nature of log files is that they kind of are just sequentially spat out by the system. And so we just get one message after another, but I will look at how we can make sure that those are grouped together, as sensibly as possible. And see what we can do there. Okay, yeah. I think that overall, there are some changes I'd like to make to that the way that you interact with those logs, and that's going to become, well, I don't know. With the change to PushKB, once we have PushKB up and running, then those logs are probably going to be less useful to you because there won't be the same logs for the import jobs as you have now. But I think that when we are displaying that information in a log file, we should make it as useful as possible. And I think at the moment that doesn't happen. I agree. It's difficult to actually find the information. I think that there are things we could do to make each message searchable, rather than just have the list underneath the log, the job view. And I think that would be a lot more helpful, as long as we put the right information on it for each record, like which job it refers to and which package it refers to or which title it refers to, that kind of thing.
Maybe could I send you a screenshot of what we've done with mod inventory update? Because the logs come from a quite old module that is living outside of Folio, and the logs are produced with log4j, so they are just rows. But then we are doing some parsing around it with a wrapper, and then we can present the results in a real case
Sure. Yeah,
format,
no, I'd
like.
be very interested to see that. Yeah, send me that. Great. Thank you all. I'm sure that I'll be doing some work on this, and I'll have maybe not more questions, but I'll certainly have some feedback on what we can do right now and what we will do right now versus what we might try and do in the future. But that's been really helpful. Thank you.
Thanks all, and have a good week. Next meeting will be on August 6th. So have a good day. Bye.
Thank you all.
Bye.